Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview and promote people who are making a positive difference in the world. My name's Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I spoke at the Think and Grow Rich Summit in Del Mar, California in April of this year, as well as at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia in March 2012, and also at the Think and Grow Rich event recently here in Toronto with the co-founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Frank Shankwich. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 45 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. And despite those physical challenges, I always answer amazing when asked how I am doing. You can find out more about me at my website. It's tall.com. My guest today is the amazing Emily Harper, who is also a friend of mine from church. Emily is the author of White Lies, as well as the book Checking In, and she has a passion for writing humorous romance stories where the heroine is not your typical damsel in distress. Throughout her novels, you will find love, laughter, and the unexpected. She is also the owner of Little Sprouts Cuts for Kids, a salon that strives to make children's haircutting experiences the best that they can be. Parents can sit back and relax while the trained stylists give all the little sprouts the best haircut they've ever had. Originally, Emily's from England. She currently lives in Canada with her wonderful husband, David, a beautiful daughter, a mischievous son, and a very naughty dog. Welcome to the show today, Emily.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to take it off my speakerphone here. Emily, you've written 2 books. I knew that you had written 1. I didn't know that you had written 2 books. When did the Checking In book come out?
It actually comes out at the end of December.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Writing a book, if you ask a number of people, it is a goal for quite a number of people to write a book. And so let's talk about, through the interview, how you came up with the ideas, how do you go about publishing a book, because I would think that a lot of people think it might be more complicated than it is to get it published, and then the writing part as well. Where do you come up with your ideas? I'm writing a nonfiction book about my life, so I don't have to come up with the ideas because it was my life. And so, when you are coming up with the characters for the novels, how do you do that? Do you base it on people you know, or do you base it on the story you need to tell? How do you come up with them?
Well, they're not specifically based on anyone I know, though I do like to observe people. I'm a people watcher, and I'll watch someone and think, you know, what would make this situation hilarious? And then I just find a piece of paper and write it down. There are some things out of my novels that, you know, are based on things that have happened to me or based on things that have happened to other people, but not a lot of them. And a lot of them are exaggerated or taken out of context, you know, just to make things a little bit more interesting.
Nice. Now, take me from the part where you, one day you decide, I want to write a fiction book. What were some of the steps that you took? Because, again, a lot of people don't take those steps. They do have a book in them, but they don't believe they can write it. They don't believe they can get it published. Maybe half a dozen of their friends tell them they're crazy. So you have the idea. You probably talked to David, a few people. How did you put the plan into action?
Well, the publishing industry, first off, has changed so much since I first wrote the novel years ago for White Lies. Back then, it was much more of a still a traditional publishing world, whereas you have to go write the novel, edit it to your best ability, either, you know, through getting your friends to edit it. I had a writer's group edit mine. And then what you would traditionally do is approach a literary agent. They would reject you. And then you'd go through multiple rejections until you could stumble upon somebody that found your book interesting or had a spot open for you. When I first went through the publishing process a couple years ago, I was afforded the opportunity to work with a fantastic publisher that produces romance novels. And I worked with an editor there for about a year and a half. And it's, you know, it kind of takes a bit of the mystique away when you're working with them and talking to them and they want this change, that change. Anyways, in the end, the book had changed too much for myself for what I wanted to do with it personally. So I broke free from that and decided to take hold of it and do it myself. So basically, there's a lot of companies out there. There's a lot of research that you need to do with each company, who they're going to distribute through. When you do it yourself, and even I've talked to many authors that do it traditionally, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of marketing yourself. You know, you can publish a book just to say, oh, I've got a book, it's on my bookshelf, and I want to give it to friends and family. And I know authors that do that, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But if you want to get it into, you know, the mass market's hands, it's a lot of marketing, a lot of groundwork, a lot of Twitter.
Yeah, social media.
Yeah.
All of those.
So,
Go ahead.
Sorry. So that's pretty much like there's two avenues. When I started years ago, trying to do things yourself was very frowned upon. It looked very amateurish. It looked like you couldn't get, you know, a publishing house or a literary agent to sign you. But nowadays, the lines between the different industries are so blurred that if you do it well and you hire an editor, you hire a cover design person, you know, you can compete with the really well-known authors. But you have to put the legwork in.
Exactly. Everything starts with legwork. And I love what you said about the editor. I'm on the third edit for my book. And when I wrote it the first time, I thought, wow, this is perfect. Send it in. And then now, three times they're asking me, be more specific, get into more detail, write more about this. And so that can be challenging. In my head, I compare an editor to like a physiotherapist. You need them, but you feel like punching them at the time.
Yeah.
Is there always wanting you to add more, change this, add that?
Yeah, and it's hard. That's why it's so important to find an editor that you're comfortable with, that you know their writing style. I actually would suggest that you don't find an editor that has a similar writing style to you or reading style. My editor, you know, appreciates romance novels, but it's not typically something that she would pick up to read. And I actually find that very helpful because when she tells me things, when she suggests changes, we do a little bit of a compromise. And then the end result is something that would probably be appealing to more than just, you know, the niche audience that I originally wrote it for.
Exactly. And you're so right. In this day and age, you can do so much of this yourself. You can seek out your own editor. You can seek out someone to design the cover of your book for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, well-edited book with a nice cover, you can compete against major publishers. If the content is good, the cover looks great, and you've had it well-edited, people will want to read it if it's good. And so it is a lot easier than the old days, as you said, where you had to go through like rejection, rejection, rejection. It was like winning a lottery to get a book published back then.
Yeah.
And so now you're, a lot of people, the number one excuse for not writing a book is, I don't have time. You have two kids. You have a dog. You have a business. You have David, and you are active outside of those things as well, with church and other things. And so how do you find time to write, and where, and maybe that would help some people who are saying, well, I just don't have time to sit down and write.
Yeah. Be organized. You know what the thing is? I absolutely love what I do. I love my life. I love my kids, my husband, and everything I do, I strive to make sure that they're going to be proud of me at the end of the day. And I think that's, you know, what your main motivation has to be. I see a lot of moms come through my salon. I talk to them, and I can tell that some of them, you know, life gets a hold of them, and, you know, you have responsibilities that you like people you're responsible for, you know, your kids, your house, your family. So I think the main thing is that you have to find something within your circumstances that's going to make you happy. I went to university and got my bachelor's in English and philosophy. And then when I was about in my second year, I'd already started writing my book. And I thought, you know what? When's the last time someone asked me, when I asked them what their job was, they said philosopher. So I'm going to have to readjust things a little bit here. And I went to a salon. I called around to a bunch of different salons because I've always been interested in creative things, you know, and hairstyling was one of them. So I called around, and I spoke to a very nice person that allowed me to become an apprentice at their salon. So I worked there full-time while university. I was able to arrange my classes at nighttime or on the days that the salon was closed or wasn't very busy. And then, you know, at the end of it, I had my English and philosophy degree that helps me a lot with my writing, helps me with grammar, helps me to appreciate why people do the things they do, which gives me depth to my novels. But at the same time, I have something that I can do every day and apply myself to for my business and express myself in that way as well. So I would say, you know, whether it's a book or anything, a lot of people think, oh, that would be fun to do, or, oh, you know, I'd like to try that. I wouldn't suggest if that is, I'd like to try that. It might not be the right thing to write a book because it does take a, but if you are very passionate about it, you'll find the time. If you're passionate about something, you will find the time.
I love it, totally. And the I'll try it, if someone says, I'll try it, I pretty well assume that means they're not going to do it. It has to be something that is important to you, that you have an idea, and that you're going to take the time and do it, and not just, oh, I'd like to do. So becoming a purpose for it, a reason, a passion for doing it, even if it is to share it with your family, not for commercial, but you have to have a stronger desire than I would like to do it. Now, what about for me, I write at various times of the day. I found that I would try and do it in the morning and schedule it, but then I would sit there sometimes and think, oh, I got this to do instead, or oh, I can't come up with a word at 6:15 in the morning. And so sometimes I write at night, sometimes I write during lunch, sometimes when I have an idea or I think of something that happened in my life, I'll write it, but I don't do it on a schedule. But I know other writers schedule their time, and they sit down, and no matter how distracted they are, they force themselves to pound out a few paragraphs. How did you manage to fit it in?
Well, I write when my daughter's at school and my son takes his nap in the afternoon, hence why I had to schedule the radio show today at noon, because that's when he naps. But, I, you know, I... it's such a passion for me that I don't even necessarily have to write in front of my computer. I'll write while I'm driving, I'll write, and I just think of these stories in my head. I can write it out in my head, and then as soon as I get to a computer or a piece of paper, I'll just write it down. I have a pretty good memory like that. But I find with myself, because I have such a passion for it, I'll be sitting there doing other things, and writing is what I want to do. And, you know, life gets a hold of you, but if you have such a passion for something, you make time for it.
Exactly. It has to be a passion for sure. And I like it that way as well. Whenever you think of it, if it's a passion, you're thinking of it all the time. So you can write a lot of it in your head as you're thinking. Now, what about some people, when they're writing a book, they like to do it into dragon dictation. They feel that they speak better. They can get it out quicker. They can be more clear when they're talking. Me, I like to write it all out myself. Did you have a preferred way of doing it? Did you dictate it? Did you write it? Did you print it out in ink and then put it on the computer? How did you do that?
I used to write it out on a piece of paper and then transfer, like type it over. But I find that for myself and my writing style, which is very conversational, I write in the first person from a female point of view, and because of that, it's a very conversational style writing. I find it just flows better when I'm typing. But I know a lot of people do it a lot of different ways. I tried the dictation once, and the computer didn't understand what I was saying. I guess I was either talking too fast or wasn't talking, you know. So it didn't work out for me. But and I used to write it out on a piece of paper, but now I have to save time. I write right on the computer.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to do it in my journal and then transcribe it, but that's like duplicating your effort and not the most efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some good tips. Now, you have two careers. You own a salon owner and an author. They are very different from each other, and both require somewhat significant amount of time. Is there one you enjoy more than the other, or does the salon provide you the income to spend the time writing? How do you build the two or work the two into your lives? Because those are two, being a business owner and an author and a mother of two kids and a dog and a husband, do you enjoy one more than the other? Do you spend more time at one than the other? How do you work those two into your life?
Well, I don't sleep. I enjoy both of them for very different reasons. My favorite part of being a hairstylist is talking to the kids, and I think that's why I focused on a children's hair salon when I opened it. They are the most honest, open people in the world, and they actually inspire me to write. They are absolutely hilarious. The things that they tell me, I feel like I'm almost their therapist, that I can't repeat it. But the things that they say, it's just fabulous. Whereas writing is more therapeutic for me. You know, being a mom and a wife and, you know, got the dog to deal with, I find that a lot of times, nothing's mine anymore. I'll even be eating dinner and my son's juice spills all over my dinner. Or my daughter's eating half my cake even though she has her own because mine tastes better, and, you know, which is fine. And it's the things, those are the sort of things that by the end of the day make me laugh the most. But I find writing for me is mine. I go into my zone and everything else that happens in the day just melts away, and the things that, you know, perhaps made me pull my hair out during the day become hilarious when I write them down on paper, or, you know, I change the story a little bit so it's a little bit funnier. But I use my life and I use the things that happen to me on a daily basis, or, you know, the hilarious things that kids say to me, in my writing. So they seem very different, but at the same time, they mesh really well together. I don't know if it would be different if I, you know, was on the New York Stock Exchange and I was writing romantic comedies. It would probably be a bit different, but...
Yeah, definitely. Now, I had thought of this when I read your bio. Little Sprouts Cuts for Kids. So I don't have kids, but I have heard enough stories of parents talking about their kids' first haircut, and generally, or a lot of the time, it is not a pleasant experience. Do you do anything fun or different or hilarious or unique that stops these somewhat crazy temper tantrums that I've heard from parents that their kids experience on their first haircut?
We have every trick in the book at the salon. First, the kids come in. Depending what their age is, we have two different sections of the salon. So the one side is chairs that are in the shape of cars, so rocket ships, you know, the Barbie Jeep, Lightning McQueen's car. Every chair also has its own individual TV in front of you. We have every DVD known to man, though Dora always seems to be on, and the kids sit there. They can watch whatever show they'd like to watch while they're getting their haircut. If that doesn't work, they don't like the puzzles or the different toys that we have to distract them, they can go and sit on the other side, you know, on Mom or Dad's knee. We also have TVs on the other side. The other side is more adult chairs, and the kids can play PlayStation, Xbox, GameCube while they're having their hair done, or they can watch a movie as well. And then all our little sprouts leave with a tattoo or their nails painted at the end, and they get a lollipop and a balloon. So there's just a million things for them to get distracted by. And then they get a little certificate that's been their first haircut, a little lock of the hair, a before and after photo for Mom. It's very fridge-worthy.
That's unique, and as you said, fridge-worthy probably even goes in a few baby books. So that's kind of a fun thing for the parents. And it sounds like, as you say, you have every trick in the book to relax them so they're not freaking out like I've heard so many stories about.
I've been bit a few times.
Not by dogs, by kids. Yeah, so quite a, it could be a lot of fun, I imagine, what you do, but also you could have some challenges from some of those pretty scared kids. What's coming up next for you? You have another book coming out in December, and with this one coming out, do you have to take some time or a fair bit of time away from the salon to go to bookstores and sign books and those type of things to help you promote and market the book?
Yes and no. Because I own the salon, I'm a little bit more flexible in that sense, but I still work every day after school. That's predominantly our busy time, so I go in after school and either cut hair or chat with the parents. I do work on every other Sunday just because I have a lot of requests, and usually Mom and Dad are working during the week, so sometimes the weekend's the only time that they can come in. Then I schedule my book signings usually on Saturdays. I have a book signing coming up this Saturday at Chapters at Aaron Mills, the one on Vega Boulevard, the 403 in Dundas.
Oh, yeah.
There.
I'll be
there on Saturday. My new book is coming out in December, Checking In. It's coming out towards the end of December, so I'm excited about that. And then I have to start in the new year editing my third book and working on getting my cover design. So, you know, that's always exciting.
So this has become a real... This has become a passion. You're not stopping it, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I never stop. I'm like the Terminator. Just keep going. So, and then in May, the salon is celebrating our two-year anniversary. So our store manager, my store manager, Selena, lovely lady, and my daughter, Ava, are donating their hair for cancer. So we're working on a campaign right now to encourage others to come in and donate their hair as well on the day. And it all goes to a company that makes wigs for children who've lost their hair for during their cancer treatments. But
wow.
After that, who knows? Maybe I'll just take a long nap or something. Who knows?
Well, let me put in a plug for your husband, David. He must be a hell of a good, shouldn't say that, but he must be an amazing husband, because you really have to set apart a lot of time as a business owner. You have employees, you're an author, you got to do the promoting of the book. And not all husbands would be as willing to do as much as they need to do with a busy wife like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, David's fantastic. I mean, the great thing about David is he has his business as well, but we both work from home most of the time during the day. Or he'll go to the office, but, you know, he always stops in. And it's nice, you know, it's nice to see, you know, I'm a busy person, but at the same time, I'm here with my kids all the time. I can work from home when, you know, my daughter's not at school. We, you know, go on family outings, just even nipping to the bakery, these sort of things. And it's nice. It's nice to connect. David helps me every step of the way. He's out at my book signings, carrying the books in for me, you know, supporting me anytime he can. So I'm very lucky.
That's right.
Blessed. Very blessed.
Very blessed. You also, I saw when you sent me some details there, you also have a blog. So what do you blog about?
I do.
About?
Well,
I try and blog.
I'm not a very techno-savvy person. I got Twitter two weeks ago, and I keep telling everybody, tweet me and I'll tweet you back, but they don't seem to know what I'm talking about. I blog about my writing process, you know, trying to help other authors as they go along. I'm a part of a great writers group, so I blog about their books and other books that people have asked me to review, other authors I know. So, I blog about events that are coming up in, for the book, and then I run the Little Sprouts website. Just finished doing that. That was a nightmare. I nearly threw my computer against the wall. That was, but it's up. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I remember learning all those things, and it is extremely important as a business owner to have that blog and website. Even if you're reviewing someone else's book or commenting on someone else's book, someone is sitting at their computer searching that book, and they find your blog or review about it, and they would maybe have never heard of you before. And so they read your blog about the book they looked up, but in the end they say, who's this Emily Harper? Oh, wow, okay,
yeah.
She's an author. Oh, she lives near me. Woo-hoo. So
yeah.
A blog, I find, is so important, because people that would otherwise never find you will find you, even if you're writing about someone else.
Yeah. And you know what, like some of the writers that I've met, they're, you know, older and perhaps aren't as, you know, computer savvy. And I say, you know what, I'm not even 30 and I'm not computer savvy. So I think the main thing is you have to, A, pick a platform that is fairly easy to work with. I work with WordPress, and it's pretty much type and click, so it's very nice. And then, you know, there's other things like my ebook formatting. I nearly had no hair left by the end of the week, and I thought to myself, you know what? Let's hire someone to do this. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, putting yourself in a position that, you know, you ask other people for help if you're not techno savvy yourself, and then things that you can take on yourself, you'll have more time to do it then. The woman that did my ebook, a lovely lady, did it probably in about 3 hours. After a week, I hadn't even figured out how to put the title on. So it just goes to show you, I wasted a week trying to do this title, and the lady, it took her 3 hours. What could I have possibly done with that week? A lot.
You're giving me some advance warning, because somebody told me that formatting what you write for ebook format is a challenge.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. If you don't know HTML or whatever it is, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and I've just been writing. Yeah, so it is. And there's so many people in the industry that could help. Website people, you got people who are artists who could design covers. You have people who know how to put together these e-books and have done it before. And so, as you said, why pull out your hair for a week, lose your time, when there's no shame in getting people who are professionals at what they do to do that for you?
Exactly. And, I mean, there's some things that professionals are meant to do, even if I could do myself. I knew I wanted to hire a cover designer because I wanted the book to look very professional. And I think it's the best decision I ever made. And I hired the same designer for my second one. I'm going to hire them for my third one. Just because I wanted that book to look professional, and I'm not a graphic designer. So, I mean, I could have probably put something together if I put my mind to it. But, you know, my time is better allocated somewhere else, and I just wanted a polished product.
Amen, amen. Let's end the interview with this question, just because we both have attended the same amazing church for a long time, Heartland, a church connected in Mississauga. I love our church. I know you love your church, and David's been involved a long time. Talk to people about how great it is to find a good church. So many people don't go to church, but you and I know it's a source of amazing friends and comfort and allows you to help other people. And it is, when you find the right one, it really, really helps you fulfill your life, I would think, mm-hmm. is a way to put it.
Mm-hmm. I think the main thing that I appreciate most about our church and Pastor Joel is the fact that we actually do things. It's not just about going on Sunday, which is also very important, but the sense of community and the amazing things that the church does for other people in the community, and that is really my main motivation for attending Heartland Church Connected. I appreciate the people. The children's programs are fantastic there. That's another thing. You know, we visited other churches, and you know, everybody has strong points and they have weaknesses, and I absolutely love the children's programs there, which is important because, you know, you want your kids to grow up to be, you know, good people. You want them to feel safe somewhere. You want them to, you know, not cling to your leg as you're trying to drop them off during service. So I really appreciate the welcoming and open environment that they provide there.
I love it. And as you said, one of the things I love is that Pastor Joel gets us out in the community, making a difference in the lives of people. So many times a church can be a clique where you never really get outside your own group of church people, but we're out meeting needs of the community, which in the end also makes people who are doing that work feel much better and is really what the church is about. And so I love that point that, yeah, we're not just a building on Sunday. We're out in the community helping and making a difference wherever we can, as much as we can. Not only that, around the world as well. And so great to always end off on a story about our church. We do have an amazing church. I'm looking forward to your book, Checking In, and I'm going to have to get one at church, the White Lies one, and read through that as well. Where did you say you're doing your book signing this week? It's at the Chapters in Oakville.
I think it's Mississauga. It's right on the borderline there. It's where the 403 and Dundas intersect. It's Vega Boulevard. It's called Chapters Indigo, I believe, Aaron Mills. There's the Costco by there in the Silver City. So I'll be there 1 to 5 on Saturday, November 6th.
Nice. And then I'm going to put your blog on my website as well and your Twitter so people can tweet you. And I'll
Thanks
add you
man,
as well.
I'll tweet them back.
Very good. I'll add you as well, and then you'll have another follower. And so thank you so much for your time, Emily. As I said, so many people have a goal in to write a book, but I think, as you've said, you have to move it from a I'd like to something you're very committed to. It's not as easy as people might think. And so I admire you for taking action on that. And what I love as well is always pursue your passion. And this is a passion for you. It's not even like a job. It's not even like something you have to force yourself to do. And so in the end, you should really pursue your passion. It makes life go by a lot easier. Thanks so much for your time, Emily. I'm looking forward to your next book, and I'm going to read that White Lies as well. And if anyone wants to find you, I'll be posting your blog site as well as your Twitter so they can get in touch with you. And I really appreciate the time you took today. Have yourself an amazing day.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Emily. Take care.